All right, as we come before the Word together and to hear from God's Word this morning and to be ministered to in that way, the passage we'll be reading from comes to us from Exodus 15, which I imagine will be on screen, and here there are Bibles under your seats as well, if you want to follow along in that way. But as we open God's Word together, let us just seek His blessing over this time as well. So Lord our God, we do thank You for Your Word, and that Your Word is life to us. We thank You for the rich measure of Your Spirit over us and among us and in us this morning as we gather in Your name, Lord. And we just pray that You keep doing only the things that You can do, that You keep ministering to us in only the ways that You can do, as You make our ears open to hear from You and our hearts open to receive from You, and that You plant Your Word deep within us, Lord Jesus, and water it richly. And we ask all this in Your name, Jesus. Amen. So we'll be looking at the last half of chapter 15 in Exodus, verses 22 through 27. Exodus 15, 22 through 27. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I know we have a number of visitors with us this morning, myself included, and just with the choir families here as well, and I know from what I see in your guys' bulletin that you guys have been spending some time in John. Jason's been walking through a series, it looks like, in John. And so now that we're stepping into Exodus here, maybe it'll just help us this morning as we gather our minds and our hearts here of just to fill in a little bit of the picture of what's going on here. And so now we're talking about Israel, and Israel's now kind of just beginning their wanderings in the wilderness. And we have to remember with Israel, right, where did these people come from? Where did these people just come from, right? Slavery, right? Years upon years of slavery. It became their normal. It's all they knew. They had stories of their ancestors, right? These people, these names like Joseph and Jacob and Isaac and Abram, and God's promises to them. But you know, that all that was in the memory banks. Those were the stories of hope that they tried to hold on to in these very bleak times of slavery that they were living in. And then as we see, as we read through the story of Exodus, right, God delivered His people in such a magnificent way. As we read through the story, we see the plagues and then the Passover and then the Red Sea, these mighty events which God saved Israel. God redeemed Israel from slavery, ransomed them from sure death, and led them out of Egypt in a victory parade. God has saved His people from death and gave them new life, but now they had to learn to live in this new life that God was giving them, right? Will they just kind of run wild with this new found freedom that they have? Or will they draw closer to the God who is drawing them in? They knew, they saw that this God, Yahweh, was mighty, a mighty God, this God was like no other, that the stories they had heard about must be true. And now they needed to learn to trust this God, that this God is safe to trust, worthy to trust, and to place all their trust in Him alone. And that's a message for us too. That's a message for us too. And the confidence or the assurance we have in this too is that, you know what, this is just the joy of God's work in His people. To keep just loving over His people, to keep building up trust in His people, that His people may love Him more, may have faith in Him more, may trust in Him more. There is so much for us to hear today in this same way, so that we may be formed in His way and in His truth and in His life. So, the passage. And again, as we heard, right, this passage just coming on the heels of all those victories that God has won for His people, all the ways God had magnificently shown up for His people in Egypt. And literally, we are told all that was just 3 days ago. 3 days ago. Right? Literally 3 days ago, the people, the camp had just crossed through the Red Sea safely, and God let release the waters to crash in on the Egyptian army, and the whole camp, the whole tribe broke out in song and praise of their God. And all that was back on Thursday. Right? And then this is the very next event we're told about. You ever have that? What a day with the Lord. What an answer to prayer. What a time of being in the Lord's presence at church. What an inspiring conference. What an inspiring retreat. Just feel that closeness to the Lord in such a deep way. And then 3 days later, right, let's look at Israel. They begin the journey into the wilderness here just elated. And they travel without water. And, you know, we're going on to 3 days here. So supplies and rations are getting incredibly low, if not empty. And they finally come to this water. Like, oh, yes, water. Just what we need. And it's bitter. And this was just the straw that broke their back in some ways. What do they do? Well, God did all these signs and wonders back in Egypt, right? God covered us during the Passover, and only the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed. God parted the seas so that we could cross safely through and finally be free of Egypt. And all that was a couple days ago. God is leading us to the promised land. That is what He has said to us. That is what He has promised us. So why don't we just ask Him for some help and guidance here? That's what we do in our hardships too, right? In those places of parched thirst, tension, challenge. I think we all hope for that. But sometimes, maybe often, we find ourselves closer to what Israel in fact does. Israel grumbles. I'll raise my hand and admit that I grumble on occasion as well. They grumble against Moses, their leader. Right, that they're not even looking God's way anymore. They're not even looking to God anymore. They're now just looking at their leader. They're looking at Moses, and right, just straight to Moses. What are you doing? Don't you know where you're going? Got GPS for this wilderness? Right? Don't you know that people need water? And the thing with grumbling, which maybe you kind of hear in that too, is there's this subversive nature to it, right? It's questioning God's abilities and God's motives. Right? Do you know what you're doing, God? Do you not see me? Us? It's like a parliamentary vote of no confidence. It's maybe like a move to impeach a president, right? A grumbling, revealing a rebellious heart. And I'm just, as I spent time in this passage, I'm just struck by this grumbling, right? Can we even believe this? Right, this after, right, only 3 days after witnessing God's amazing power and protection and rescue, there's this lack of trust that the people fall into so quickly. And then I catch myself, because then I know I've been there too. I've been there too. So quick to not trust God at the first sign of worry. When things get challenging, it's easier just to become about myself, right? About ourselves. And we all experience that in different ways. Right? Maybe it's despair or self-pity for some of us. Maybe for others, it's finding comfort in old habits. Right? The old familiar structures we've built up in our lives. Maybe it's finding some security or stability in our own expertise, our own strength, right? However it looks, the move is all the same, to stop looking in God's direction and to just trust ourselves. What are we to do? Because maybe we see how we can fall into this trap as well. And then as we read through the Bible, right, as we live this Christian life, this life with Christ, we also know that Christians, right, as us belonging to Jesus Christ, right, filled with the Holy Spirit, that we should know joy like nobody else. Right? In the sun or the rain, the good times or the hard times, that God's joy of what Jesus has done for us is the very joy that the Spirit weaves into our lives, holds us in, perseveres us in. A joy that is so much greater than any worldly circumstance that may face us. Right, if we just think about Jesus' life and the circumstances he faced on this earth, right? We know and we see and we read he went through hardship, he went through want, he went through heartache, he went through testing, temptation, animosity, persecution, and yet none of that could take away the joy of just being with the Father, the delight between the Father and the Son, and the way he was just so in and so wanting to do the Father's will. And it is that same joy that the Holy Spirit weaves into our lives as well. That claim, that cry, that stand that we may take to say, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the joy of myself is my strength, or the joy of my desires is my strength, but that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So what are we to do? We see how joy should shape and characterize our lives, but we also then see and experience some of this disconnect, right? Where we're struggling with trust before God and how this actually looks in our lives. And maybe that's part of God's learning process over our lives. Right, Israel, what we see going on in this passage, Israel is just going through this incredible life transition or transformation. Right, they went from slavery to freedom. We have been given the most incredible transformation. Right, dead in sin to alive in Christ. And as Israel is now learning to walk before God, we too are learning to walk by the Spirit in this space. In this space we find ourselves in. And in that learning, God sometimes, maybe uncomfortably for us, right, reveals to us our lack of trust in Him. And He does that. And it's not the sense of, right, He doesn't do that with the sense of, you know, shaming us or guilting us or just, you know, pushing us down, right, with His foot or something like that, right? That's not the purpose and intent, right? God reveals to us places of lack of trust with the purpose, with the intent to form more trust in Him. His revealing to us is an invitation to healing. And so if God is revealing this to us and knowing that God is good, then surely God must have something more in store for us that He wants to lead us into, prepare us for. And that's what I think that God wants to remind us of this morning as well. And this is the most striking thing for me in this passage. Noticing how God was interpreting what He did for the people. Noticing how God named what He just did for Israel. Right? We have this undrinkable water, and God makes it somehow miraculously so that it can be drinkable. And then God says, I am the Lord who heals you. The Lord, your healer. It doesn't quite fit, at least in my mind. Right? This is about provision. This is about provision. This is about God providing clean water for the people in this miraculous way. The people were lacking water. They were thirsty. And then they got water to drink. Is this really a healing? Why does God say this? So I was held up a bit. And then what I saw is that it wasn't about the water. It's what it's always been about. Right? God's unstoppable and unrelenting love for His people and His care and mercy to heal them so that their hearts would bend more and more towards Him. So that we may learn to trust Him more. To listen to His voice, because His voice is good. To walk in obedience to Him even when it seems hard. To find greater delight in Him. To live by faith in the Son of God. So what are your trust issues with God? What's holding you back? Israel knew God as mighty through what He was doing for them, what He did for them in Egypt. We know God as mighty through what He did for us in His Son Jesus, right? And Jesus' death and resurrection for us, His life given for us. And sometimes we see that might and we think or assume all that might, all that power was just for back then. I was saved back then. Right? I've been going to church all my life. Right, God is maybe not really super active in my life right now. All that saving power was for back then. And what I see going on here is that God is revealing His patient and persistent love for Israel, for us, evidencing, showing that he is safe to trust and worthy to trust, that we may place all our trust in him alone and learn his way and his truth. It's just seeing how this is so our story too. God's cry to us, I am the Lord, your healer. And that is the heartbeat that continually draws us closer to him. I'm the Lord, our healer. Right? How does this form our lives, right? And bear witness through our lives, because this is more than just about the bitterness and the trust in this passage. Right? Maybe you can think on your life and think to these areas where you have been healed. Right? Maybe it was something where it's like, you know, maybe it was like anger or pride or control or lust or greed. Just these heavy things in your life, right? Weighing you down, draining life. And maybe you can think back and see ways that you have been brought into a level of healing in those things. How God has worked healing into your life against those things and replaced those things with fruit of the Spirit in your life. And so do we see those things? Do we acknowledge those things? Do we talk about those things, right? Does it bear witness about who Jesus is and what he is doing for us, right? Like as you talk with your family or friends or neighbors or whoever, it's just, you know, man, yeah, I used to really struggle with control in my life. Just that kind of prideful control of everything having to be my way and wanting everything so controlled and managed so perfectly in my way. And that's just, you know, that's just really kind of heavy on me. But Jesus brought me into a level of freedom from that, where that's no longer the constraint on my life, the yoke on my life it once was. Jesus has brought healing into my life from that. Then how that bears witness. That person you're sharing that with, that testimony with. You're like, wow. Your God's alive. I wonder if your God has healing like that for me in my life. Maybe there's something that is hard for us to think back on our life and locate. Maybe God is putting something on our heart right now that he's wanting to walk with us in and lead us in to give over to him. It's as if God is saying, right, I am the Lord, your healer. I want my hands more on your life. For that to happen, you'll have to take your hands off your own life. And we'll have to give ourselves over to him. He is the Lord who has redeemed us from the curse and death of sin. He draws the stain of sin out of us, and he works into us his fruit, his gifts, his blessings, his love, and his presence in our daily lives. And he just wants that to fill our daily lives more and to form our daily lives more. Our walk with him, our joy in him. He is the Lord who heals us. You know that piece of wood that God told Moses to throw in the water? That piece of wood, it's the same word in Hebrew as tree. It can also mean like a tree. And what I see in this, and what just kind of just melts me in the presence of the Lord, is just to see how the Lord Jesus Christ did the very same thing, except more completely, more fully, more abundantly, more authoritatively, more powerfully, more wonderfully. He was a tree cast into the bitter water. The Son of Man hung on the tree for the sins of the world, sucking up all the bitterness into himself, taking it all upon himself so that his people may be clean, so that his people may have life in him and may drink of his living water, life by the Spirit. This passage in Exodus is pointing us to God's redemptive and restorative intentions to bring full healing to all his people, and how Jesus is a fulfillment of all our healing, right? The stick in the water, the cross in the world, the greatest thing this world has ever known. And the invitation to us again and again is to be healed at the cross, right? To lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Our grumbling, our bitterness, our fear, our whatever. Right? To be healed of the disease of sin, right? To look to where the Son of God is lifted up for us. And God's words to Israel are the same to us. Continue. Continue, right? It kind of has that dailiness, that continued walk, right? Walk in this. Continue in this healing by listening carefully to my voice, to my commands. Trust me, right? All the healing is not just for like that back then time in your life. It's for now too. Trust me, right? In our Reformed circles, in our Reformed ways, we have this big word that we kind of call this too, right? The sanctification, right? God growing us more and more in his grace. Trust me to continue leading you in life. The life I have for you, we can trust God to write our story, to walk and grow in the healing and the growth and the maturity he has for us, to find relief from the draining disease of sin. Jesus, who trusted the Father perfectly, and it is his perfect faith, his perfect trust in God, his perfect obedience to God that we are being formed in, right? By the Spirit. It's the Spirit's work to form Jesus' faith in us as we cling to him. So as the grumbling or the bitterness may arise up in us at times, right, that we may hear louder than anything else, louder than the noise of that grumbling and bitterness and lack of trust, that we may hear louder than anything else, I am the Lord who heals you. Let us look to the Son of God lifted up, drink from his sweet and healing water, and be opened by the Spirit to listen carefully to the Lord our God. Are you starting to see with me that this was not about the water at all? It's about our hearts. It's about our lives. Right? That this testing that Israel found themselves in, the testings that we find ourselves in, right? That reveal to us where we're at. God already knows where we're at, so he's just letting us in on the big picture of where we're at. Right? These are opportunities for healing, for being forgiven, to grow in trust, to grow in obedience, to know God more intimately. Can we really begin to believe that God is worthy of our trust? And as Philippians 1 encourages us and reminds us that he is God, he who began a good work in us is carrying it on to completion. He's not just at the beginning and the end, but he's carrying it on to completion. That is, right, how we see that his love is alive, right? It's not just ancient words stuck in ancient times, but that his word is alive to us. His love is alive in us, that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that is alive in us right now. Resurrecting our lives, transforming our character, leading us into deeper delight in the Lord. He's at work in us, renewing, restoring, healing us, drawing us closer to Him in more trust and obedience and delight. And just look at how this passage closes too, as we'll close shortly here now too. Right, even after all this and the wonderful things God did for the people and just this wonderful gift of the clean water and showing the way He revealed Himself to them in this too. And He's just brings even more refreshing into Israel's life. Elam, this wonderful oasis with 12 springs and 70 palms. You may know that there are 12 tribes of Israel. And did you also know that in Exodus chapter 1, the opening verses also tells us there are 70 clans within these 12 tribes. 12 tribes, 12 springs, 70 clans, 70 palms. Every one of God's children encamped under the care and provision of God's healing love and provision. His clear and abundant reminder to them that He has just so got them. And He's just so with them. And He just is inviting them to give themselves over to Him in more trust and love. May His goodness melt our hearts to trust Him more, to seek healing from Him, and to listen carefully to all that He has told us. Shall we pray? Lord our God, we just give You thanks for who You are, for Your incredible and mighty love over us. You are the Creator of all things, of this universe, of this world, of our lives. You knit us together in our mother's wombs. You know us. You know us better than we know ourselves. And Lord, we just thank You for Your abundant love in our lives. Your invitation to come closer. To trust You more fully. To kind of take the hands off our own lives and just open our hands before You to be led. To follow You, Lord Jesus. And to walk by Your Spirit. We thank You for Your patience with us. Your enduring love towards us and over us. Your great mercy. And for Your healing power in our lives. Lord, I'm reminded of the woman You tell us about in Your gospel. The woman who was so sick. And as You were passing by, Lord Jesus, she thought to herself, "If I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole." And she reached out and touched Your garment and was healed. And so, Lord, I just pray for a sense of that just over our lives, to come over us more and more, just that desire, that yearning, if I may just be with You, reach out to You. To know more fully that the joy of the Lord is our strength. To walk in that day by day. And we thank You, O God, for how You are just there for us and with us in all the challenges we face. When we walk through the valleys, when we're on the peaks, somewhere in between, that Your steadfastness is always with us. Thank You for this gift we have in You, Lord Jesus. We pray all this in Your name. Amen.